Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have a brief news summary in the first part of the show, and then we're going to be looking at a diary that I penned over 30 years ago in a place called Iran. Why I penned it, how things look 30 years later, what I think is going to happen in the next year. But let's take a look at the news summary. The most important thing I believe you could read today. It's not a happy thing, but it's, I think, the most important thing that you could look at today in the news summaries is found on page one of that good old establishment publication, The Washington Post, Wednesday, December 20th, by Peter Baker. Title of the article, U.S. is not winning the war in Iraq, Bush says, for the first time. President plans to expand Army and Marine Corps to cope with the strain of multiple deployments. Quoting Mr. Baker here, President Bush acknowledged for the first time yesterday that the United States is not winning the war in Iraq and said he plans to expand the overall size of the stressed, quote-unquote, U.S. armed forces to meet the challenges of a long-term global struggle against terrorists. As he searches for a new strategy for Iraq, Bush has now adopted the formula advanced by his top military advisor to describe the situation. Quote, we're not winning, we're not losing, unquote, Bush said in an interview with the Washington Post. The assessment was a striking reversal for a president who days before the November elections declared, quote, absolutely we're winning, unquote. In another turnaround, Bush said he has ordered Defense Secretary Robert M. Gates to develop a plan to increase the troop strength of the Army and Marine Corps, heeding warnings from the Pentagon and Capitol Hill that multiple deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan are stretching the armed forces toward the breaking point. Quote, we need to reset our military, unquote, said Bush, whose administration had opposed increasing force levels as recently as this summer. But in a wide-ranging session in the Oval Office, the president said he interpreted the Democratic election victory 6 weeks ago not as a mandate to bring the U.S. involvement in Iraq to an end, but as a call to find new ways to make the mission there succeed. He confirmed that he is considering a short-term surge in troops in Iraq, an option that top generals have resisted out of concern that it would not help. A substantial military expansion will take years and would not immediately affect the war in Iraq, but it would begin to address the growing alarm among commanders about the state of the armed forces. Although the president offered no specifics, other U.S. officials said the administration is preparing plans to bolster the nation's permanent active-duty military with as many as 70,000 additional troops. A force structure expansion would greatly accelerate the already rising costs of war. The administration is drafting a supplemental request for more than $100 billion in additional funds for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, on top of the $70 billion already approved for this fiscal year, according to U.S. officials. That would be over 50% more than originally projected for fiscal 2007, making it by far the costliest year since the 2003 invasion. Since the attacks of September 11, 2001, Congress has approved more than $500 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as for terrorism-related operations elsewhere. An additional $100 billion would bring overall expenditures to $600 billion, exceeding those for the Vietnam War, which adjusted for inflation cost $549 billion, according to the Congressional Research Service. For all the money, commanders have grown increasingly alarmed about the burden of long deployments and the military's ability to handle a variety of threats around the world simultaneously. General Peter J. Shoemaker, the Army's chief of staff, warned Congress last week that the active-duty Army, quote-unquote, will break under the strain of today's war zone rotations. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell, a retired chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said on CBS News' Face the Nation on Sunday that the active Army is about broken, quote-unquote. When we come back, I want to take a continued look at this story. Compare it with what Justin Raimondo, Pat Buchanan, and Kevin Zeese have said about it today, and then we will go on to look at a diary from many, many years ago. Stay tuned. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting
Network. Broadcasting. Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right now. Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
From San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. Before the break, we were talking about Peter Baker's front page story in today's Washington Post, where the president acknowledges for the first time that the U.S. is not winning the war in Iraq. He says we're not losing, but we're not winning. But all of a sudden, as we begin to look at this whole situation, the outlines become very, very clear. We're talking about an additional $100 billion now in supplemental spending for this war, which would bring the overall expenditures up to $600 billion, exceeding those of the Vietnam War. We're talking about proposals apparently emanating from certain quarters in the administration to bolster the nation's permanent active duty military with as many as 70,000 troops. And obviously in these conversations that we've seen coming out of Robert Gates in recent days and some of the folks connected with the Iraq Study Group, it's clear that there is an absolute grasp at straws to determine exactly what the way out of this situation might be. Going back again to the Baker story and its actual text, Baker goes on to say that Democrats have been calling for additional troops for years. John Kerry proposed an increase of 40,000 troops during his 2004 campaign against Bush. This was the Democrats' anti-war candidate, right? That is my editorial remark, not in Baker's text. The administration dismissed Kerry at the time. And as recently as June, the administration opposed adding more troops because restructuring is, quote, enabling our military to get more warfighting capability from current and strength, unquote. But yesterday, Bush had changed his mind, quote, I'm inclined to believe that we do need to increase our troops, the Army and the Marines, unquote. And I talked about this to Secretary Gates, and he's going to spend some time talking to the folks in the building, coming back with a recommendation to me about how to proceed forward on this idea. In describing his decision, Bush tied it to the broader struggle against Islamic extremists around the world, rather than to Iraq specifically. Quote, it is an accurate reflection that this ideological war we're in is going to last for a while, and that we're going to need a military that's capable of being able to sustain our efforts and to help us achieve peace, unquote, he said. Bush chose a different term from Powell. Quote, I haven't heard the word broken, he said, but I've heard the word stressed. I'm going to repeat that. I haven't heard the word broken, the president said, but I've heard the word stressed. We need to reset our military. There's no question the military has been used a lot. And the fundamental question is, will Republicans and Democrats be able to work with the administration to assure our military and the American people that we will position our military so that it is ready and able to stay engaged in a long war? Democrats pounced on Bush's comments. Quote, I'm glad he has realized the need for increasing the size of the armed forces, but this is where the Democrats have been for 2 years, said Rahm Emanuel, the new House Democratic Caucus chairman. I will editorialize, breaking off in Baker's text for a moment to remind the listeners that Representative Rahm Emanuel is described by many as the Israeli Mossad's leading asset up on Capitol Hill, and he's now the new House Democratic chairman. Going on with Baker's text here in the Washington Post, Kerry issued a statement calling Bush's move a, quote, pragmatic step needed to deal with the warnings of a broken military, unquote, but he noted that he opposes increasing troops in Iraq. Even before news of Bush's interview, Representative Ike Skelton of Missouri, incoming chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, told reporters that the military is, quote, bleeding, unquote, and, quote, we have to apply the tourniquet and strengthen the forces, unquote. So we have some people saying broken, we have the president saying stressed, we have Ike Skelton, the incoming chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, saying that the military is bleeding. The Army has already temporarily increased its force level from 482,000 active duty soldiers in 2001 to 507,000 today, and soon to 512,000. But the Army wants to make that 30,000 soldier increase permanent, and then add between 20 and 40,000 more on top of that, according to military and civilian officials who spoke on condition of anonymity. Every additional 10,000 soldiers would cost about $1.2 billion a year, according to the Army. Because recruitment and training take time, officials caution that any boost would not be felt in a significant way until at least 2008. Bush, who has always said that the United States is headed for victory in Iraq, conceded yesterday what Gates, Powell, and most Americans in polls have already concluded. Quote, an interesting construct that General Pace uses is, we're not winning, we're not losing, Bush said, referring to Marine General Peter Pace, the Joint Chiefs chairman who was spotted near the Oval Office before the interview. Quote, there have been some very positive developments. Where are they, Mr. President? That's my editorial remark to that. But obviously the real problem we face is the sectarian violence that needs to be dealt with, unquote. Asked yesterday about his, quote, absolutely we're winning, unquote, comment at an October 25th news conference, the president recast it as a prediction rather than an assessment. Quote, yes, that was an indication of my belief we're going to win, unquote, he said. Bush said he has not yet made a decision about a new strategy for Iraq and would wait for Gates to return from a trip there to assess the situation. Quote, I need to talk to him when he gets back, Bush said. I've got more consultations to do with the national security team, which will be consulting with other folks. And I'm going to take my time to make sure that the policy, when it comes out, the American people will see that we have got a new way forward, unquote. Among the options under review by the White House is sending 15,000 to 30,000 more troops to Iraq for 6 to 8 months. The idea is the support of important figures such as John McCain, Republican Arizona, has been pushed by some inside the White House, but the Joint Chiefs have balked because they think advocates have not adequately defined the mission, according to U.S. officials. The chiefs have warned that a short-term surge could lead to more attacks against U.S. troops, according to the officials, who described the review on the condition of anonymity because it is not complete. Bush would not discuss such ideas in detail, but said, quote, all options are viable, unquote. While top commanders questioned the value of a surge, they had begun taking moves that could prepare for one should Bush order it. Defense officials said yesterday that the U.S. Central Command has made two separate requests to Gates for additional forces in the Middle East, including an army brigade of about 3,000 troops to be used as a reserve force in Kuwait, and a second Navy carrier strike group to move on the Persian Gulf. Gates has yet to approve the moves, which could increase U.S. forces in the region by as many as 10,000 troops, officials said. The previous theater reserve force, the 15th Marine Expeditionary Unit, was recently moved to Iraq's Anbar province to help quell insurgent violence. General George W. Casey, the U.S. commander in Iraq, has called for the additional brigade, likely the 2nd Brigade, 82nd Airborne Division, to be positioned to move into Iraq, hot spots if needed. The additional carrier strike group would certainly give General John P. Abizide, the head of the Central Command, more flexibility in a volatile region, said one official. While such a move would certainly send a pointed message to Iran, the official said it would also allow for additional strike capabilities in Iraq. That's Peter Baker today, page one, The Washington Post. And I think if you read one news article today, that should be the one, because as a major Eastern establishment newspaper, we're finally beginning to see a picture emerging that suggests that not all is well in Babylon by the Potomac when it comes to the whole question of the war in Iraq and many other things. And that, by George, we are now looking 3.5 years later at what Lieutenant General William Odom has emphasized time and time again is the absolute catastrophe of going into Iraq with conventional forces, the greatest single strategic military blunder, General Odom argues and has argued in the history of the United States. Which brings us back again to what we were talking about yesterday on this show. If you've not yet seen General Odom's statements that were issued by Harvard University yesterday and by their special Nieman Foundation for Journalism, take a look at that one at Breaking All the Rules News. We have posted that on the front page there. General Odom, of course, is talking about six brutal truths about Iraq. And when you read what he has to say in that report, which we talked about a little bit yesterday on the show, it becomes very, very clear that we are in an unwinnable situation, that no increase in troop levels in Iraq is going to change the disastrous outcome of this incredible tragedy, and that to the extent that we need additional forces, we need them to bolster basic American military commitments, like defending our own homeland. In regard to this analysis of the news today, I want you to see several other stories because they create a holistic kaleidoscope of the larger disaster that quite clearly we're facing at this point, a disaster that is so large that there is no way of keeping it quiet, even in the mainstream press. As we go down the list of stories today, MSNBC has a particularly ominous post taken in tandem with what we just read from Peter Baker in today's front page of the Washington Post, and that is this. The shuffle of United States top brass is likely with policy shift. This is an AP story that has been reposted at MSNBC.com, and it goes as follows with a Washington byline. A shuffle of top American generals in Iraq is likely to accompany the shift in U.S. policy that President Bush is considering. Translation, some people want to get out of Dodge. Army General John P. Abizide, the commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East, and submitted plans to go ahead with a retirement that is months overdue, according to the U.S. Central Command. And the top commander in Iraq, General George Casey, has indicated in recent months that he also may not stay much longer than the end of this year. Ho, ho, ho. Since they have opposed sending more troops to Iraq, their departures could make it easier for Bush and his new Defense Secretary Robert Gates to switch course in the troubled campaign, where they are considering a short-term surge, in forces. Abizide's 3-year tour as commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East was to have ended last July, but he agreed to stay until early 2007 at the request of former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, said a Central Command statement from Tampa, Florida. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll do a little bit more of a news analysis of this particular story in regard to our quandaries in Iraq, and then we'll move on during this Christmas season to a diary that was written over 30 years ago.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're doing a brief news summary today, particularly as it pertains to Peter Baker's front page story in the Washington Post today, which acknowledges, President Bush acknowledges for the first time, that the United States is not winning in Iraq, but he says we're not losing. The other thing which we pointed out at the beginning of the show, talking about the various descriptions of the American Army, Colin Powell uses the word broken. Mr. Bush uses the word stressed. Ike Skelton, the incoming Democrat House Armed Services Committee chairman, uses the term bleeding. But at any rate, the indications are that there will be, over time, a 70,000 troop increase in the armed forces of the United States worldwide. But we are now approaching a $600 billion expenditure figure just for this war in Iraq. Obviously, no one has figured out how to deal with this insurgency of Sunnis and Shiites and Kurds. Obviously, we're dealing with a situation where Lieutenant General William Odom has been proven absolutely correct when he posted with the Nieman Journalistic Foundation at Harvard University in recent days his six brutal truths on what is happening in Iraq. General Odom, of course, has gone on to say that not only should we never have been involved in this situation, but there is no option. No option. My words in this case, I'm interpreting what the general is telling us today at the Nieman Foundation at Harvard University. We posted a Breaking All the Rules news. No option that can salvage this failed policy. It is a disaster, and no tinkering with numbers, no tinkering with the mission of the U.S. forces in Iraq, moving them from a combat role to some type of a supportive role for Iraqi security forces is going to work. We are in the middle of something that we have lifted Pandora's box on, where there is absolutely no way out. And now, as we see what is unfolding with Peter Baker's front page story for the Washington Post today, we're now told by the Associated Press, reposted with MSNBC.com, that General Abizaid and his counterpart, General Casey in Iraq, are heading for the exits. They're going to be gone fairly soon. And we're going to see Gates, the new defense secretary, choosing his own commanders for Iraq. The issue, he has said, will be his top priority as secretary. I am suggesting, of course, that in terms of expenditures, loss of life, politically cataclysmic disaster with no end in sight, that it doesn't matter who these new commanders are. It doesn't matter how many additional troops are put into this situation. It doesn't matter how many additional expenditures of borrowed dollars we put into this affair. It is absolutely grim, which then leads me to the one other thing I'll say about this today before we go on to a diary that was written over 30 years ago, and that is Pat Buchanan's commentary for antiwar.com today. I want you to read it in conjunction with Peter Baker's front page story for the Washington Post on this catastrophe, and also to read it in light of what we've already discussed about the Associated Press byline that indicates that General Abizaid and General Casey will be out before the end of the year, and that Gates will put new figureheads in their places. Pat Buchanan's story, just out with antiwar.com, speaks of a broken army, broken empire. That's the title of Pat's piece. And he goes on to say that the insurgencies in Iraq and Afghanistan have thus far cost fewer U.S. lives than the Filipino insurgency of 1899 to 1902. Yet Army Chief of Staff General Peter Shoemaker warned Congress last week that the U.S. Army will break, quote-unquote, without more troops. We started this war flat-footed, Buchanan said, with 500,000 fewer soldiers than we had before the Gulf War, says the general, who won 7,000 soldiers added yearly to the 507,000 on active duty. The Army is about broken, agrees Colin Powell, a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Powell believes we are, quote, losing the war in Iraq, unquote, but opposes any surge of 15,000 to 30,000 U.S. troops, as urged by Senator John McCain. There are no additional troops, says Powell. All we would be doing is keeping some of the troops who were there longer, and escalating or accelerating the arrival of other troops. CENTCOM Commander General Abizaid lately told an audience at Harvard, this is not an army that was built to sustain a long war. Retired General Kevin Ryan agrees, quote, today, the 37 combat brigades of the active army are almost totally consumed by the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. With all units either deployed, returning from deployment, or preparing to deploy, there is none left to prepare for other contingencies, unquote. Yet, adds Ryan, quote, our published defense strategy requires a military that can defend our homeland, sustain two major wars, be present in key regions abroad, and fight a global war on terrorism. With Marine and Army ground forces barely able to fight the two major wars, the other security tasks are left to flyovers and ship visits from our Air Force and Navy, unquote. Pat Buchanan continues by saying that what these generals are saying is ominous. Not only is the United States losing the war in Iraq, the Army is breaking, and we do not have the troops to meet the commitments America has made all over the world. In short, U.S. foreign policy is bankrupt. We cannot meet all the IOUs we have outstanding if several are called at once. What kind of a superpower is it whose army can be broken by two insurgencies that have required only half the number of troops we sent to Korea and about a third of the number we sent to Vietnam? We'll be back to continue with Pat Buchanan's commentary today entitled Broken Army, Broken Empire, and then we'll proceed on to a diary written in Tehran, Iran, over 30 years ago. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
KU Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking today at a front-page story in the Washington Post by Peter Baker, dealing with Mr. Bush's admission that we are not winning. Mr. Bush says we're not losing in Iraq either. And talking about all the things that Peter Baker posts in that front-page story in the Washington Post today, strongly urge you to read it. I think it's the most important news item of the day. In regard to underscoring the fact that in the establishment press, the facts are finally starting to emerge, that the wheels are coming off in terms of our involvement in Iraq and the whole business of neoconservative foreign policy generally. I challenge anyone to say that the Iraq Study Group has produced any concrete proposals that look viable. I think Mr. Gates is certainly going to be grasping at straws for answers in the days that are ahead. And simply putting in two new faces instead of Abizaid and Casey in regard to CENTCOM and in regard to our on-the-ground commander in Iraq is not going to change this circumstance. The addition of another $100 billion isn't going to change it either. And this is exactly what Lieutenant General William Odom is talking about in his article for the Nieman Foundation at Harvard University. We have posted his six brutal truths about the war in Iraq on the front page of Breaking All the Rules News, which you can access at batr.net/batrnews. very clear that when someone of the stature of Lieutenant General William Odom is talking about this catastrophe and was talking about it from the beginning, he's not engaging in revisionist thinking here. He's not trying to revise original positions that he took. General Odom, I think, from the beginning, was saying that this whole thing was simply a quagmire. It was a disaster. It would gulf anything that our politicians have ever done in the past in terms of the stupidity and the absolutely malignant character of the consequences that would ensue. And lo and behold, here we are. And getting back again to Pat Buchanan's article briefly before we take a look at a diary written over 30 years ago in Tehran, Pat talks again about a broken army and a broken empire. He underscores again the fact that we have, according to retired General Kevin Ryan, 37 combat brigades of the active duty army are almost totally consumed by the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. General Abizide told an audience at Harvard recently, this is not an army that was built to sustain a long war. Powell says that the army's about broken. Mr. Bush says it's stressed. Ike Skelton, the incoming Democrat chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, says that it's bleeding. At any rate, it's obviously a very, very serious situation. But Buchanan goes on to ask rhetorically, what kind of superpower is it whose army can be broken by two insurgencies that have required only half the number of troops we sent to Korea and a third of the number we sent to Vietnam? If our army is about broken now, how do we propose to defend the Baltic republics? And if Bush and the neocons get their way, Ukraine and Georgia from a revanchist Russia? How could we fight a second Korean War, the first of which required a third of a million men? If our army is about broken, as our commander-in-chief lost his mind when he issues bellicose ultimatums to Tehran, and if our army is not built to sustain a long war, are not those people insane who talk wildly of fighting World War IV? In World War II, we had 12 million men under arms on VE Day. Our army, says Abizide, is not built to sustain a long war, quote-unquote, yet we are committed by NATO to defend Central and Eastern Europe, including the Baltic republics and the Eastern Balkans, against a resurgent Russia. We're committed to defend Israel, Kuwait, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and the Gulf states from Iran. We are committed to defend Afghanistan from the Taliban, South Korea from North Korea, and Japan and Taiwan from China. Who do we think we're kidding? America today is like an auto insurance company with the cash on hand to handle one or two fender benders, but anything beyond that means Chapter 11. In the Reagan decade, writes national security analyst William Hawkins, the United States had 18 Army divisions. Clinton cut it to 10. Yet since Reagan, we have not cut commitments, but added to them in Eastern Europe, the Balkans, the Gulf, and the Taiwan Strait. The American Imperium is hollow. We have nowhere near the troops to sustain the security commitments and war guarantees we have ladled out. Like the British in 1945, ours is an overstretched empire with a sinking currency whose enemies are salivating at the prospect of being in on the kill. America may need a larger army. More imperative is the need for a radical reduction in treaty and war commitments. While the U.S. Navy and Air Force remain supreme, the Army and Marines are, as Abizide says, too small a force to fight a long war. We must adjust our commitments to reflect our capabilities and beyond that, to defend only what is truly vital to the national security. While our armed forces are more than adequate to defend us, they are insufficient to defend an empire. Rather than bleed and bankrupt the nation endlessly, we should let go of the empire. I'm going to repeat Buchanan's words in that sentence. Rather than bleed and bankrupt the nation endlessly, we should let go of the empire. Americans must learn how to mind their own business and cease to meddle in other nations' quarrels. Iraq was never a threat to the United States. Only our mindless intervention has made it so. I highly recommend that article to you today, Broken Army, Broken Empire, by Patrick J. Buchanan. And again, read it in conjunction with Peter Baker's front page story for the Washington Post today, entitled U.S. Not Winning the War in Iraq, Bush Says for the First Time. And also in conjunction with the MSNBC Associated Press story that indicates that both General Abizide and General Casey are on their way out. Folks, when you look at all of these stories in tandem, I'll post all of them later at Breaking All the Rules News, it becomes increasingly clear that this is an unsustainable policy. This policy is a loser. And if we had listened to Lieutenant General William Odom prior to now, we would not be in this mess. But we're in it now, and if anyone out there has a solution that has thus far eluded the Iraq Study Group, that has thus far eluded Robert Gates and President Bush, that has eluded Colin Powell, that has eluded Abizaid and Casey, now is the time to speak up. I freely confess that I don't know what the policy should be from here on out, except it seems to me that we need to cut and run out of this situation as fast as we can. We need to get our fiscal house in order. We need to stop borrowing foreign money. We need to support the true national security interests of the United States and say no to empire and say no to the new world order. Now let's go back here during this Christmas season to something that goes all the way back to 1976. How many of you out there, I can't take a poll because obviously my computer screen does not have an instantaneous poll-taking result. And obviously, I can't see all of you out there in space who are listening to the shortwave and who are listening to internet radio and who are listening to certain affiliates in South Texas that carry the show to determine what you're thinking at this very moment as I'm asking this question. And the question is this: how many of you have ever felt like there was something you needed to do? Specifically, how many of you have ever felt like there was something that you were supposed to write down? That at a particular time in your life, some insights kept coming to you, some ideas, almost driven to put those things down on paper. I had an experience like that over 30 years ago in the summer of 1976. I had a dream of the night in Tehran. That's chapter one of my manuscript that's online at markdankoff.com, entitled A Summer of a Thousand Nights from Tehran to Susa. One night I awakened in Tehran, Iran, in the summer of 1976, in North Tehran, off of Sultanat-Abad Avenue on Golestan number 4, and began writing. I did not necessarily know why, except I wrote what was on my heart at that particular juncture. And I came up with something that encompassed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 chapters. 7 chapters that were written in the summer of 1976, pertaining to what proved to be the last summer that I would ever spend in Iran. And those 7 chapters were to comprise the foundation of something that years later continued. Years later, I wrote something entitled The Bridge, or The Chapter Without a Number, or The Interlude Before the Unleashing of the Fifth Seal. That's part 2 of this narrative that you will find, A Summer of a Thousand Nights from Tehran to Susa, if you look at markdankoff.com. And then part 3, Thoughts, Dreams, and Visions in the Night, America, 1984 to 2003. I then proceeded to write 7 more chapters spanning a period of time from 1984, January of 1984, to the year 2003, indicating exactly what I thought was the future of the American empire. And what I began to recognize was this, that I had sensed something and had felt something in the summer of 1976 that I believe truly involved what would happen several years later in Tehran in the form of the Islamic Revolution. Now, I am not a Pentecostal Christian. I am not claiming that what I am talking about here is the revealed Word of God that's on a par with the prophetic scriptures of the Old Testament and the apostolic scriptures of the New. Clearly, that would be nonsense. That would be heresy. That would be absolute stupidity to suggest such a thing. But I do believe that I sensed some things in the summer of 1976 that needed to be penned. That would have significance not only for my life all these 3 decades later, but that would enable me to say something to the rest of us now as we begin to enter a most dangerous period in our own history. So that's the outline of my book. The first 7 chapters dealing with 1976 in Tehran, Iran. The manuscript for those first 7 chapters is on my website, A Summer of a Thousand Nights from Tehran to Susa. Those are the actual thoughts and actual words down to the last jot and tittle of what I wrote over 30 years ago that summer. Then if you want to get into part 2, which is the bridge between then and now, and part 3, where I talk about thoughts, dreams, and visions in the night, America, 1984 to 2003, you'll see that for 20 years, from 1984 to 2003, and we might add to 2006 now, I have had a perception in regard to the direction that history was going that did not favor the American empire and that did not favor the kinds of decisions that we have now made as a people, or should I say that our government elite has made for us, more accurately to the point, that have led to what I think is the greatest crossroad in the history of the existence of this country, where I am not temporally optimistic about the outcome. That is the most significant thing I could say to you today. I'm not optimistic about that, but if you will look at my diary and at all the 14 chapters that appear there, both the seven that were written in 1976 as well as those that have been written in more recent years, it becomes clear that what we are not optimistic about in this age becomes something that we are optimistic about when it comes to the age that is to come. This, in my view, is the ultimate meaning of the Christmas season. Even though Jesus Christ was clearly not born in December, we are talking about a situation where, since our culture is presently observing in some backhanded way the existence of the Word who became flesh and who dwelt among us, we are speaking about the contrast between the biblical witness in regard to who Jesus Christ was and is and always shall be, and the fading into the twilight of earthly empires that once were and that shall never be again in a time frame of God's choosing. So I'm going to start reading a little bit from my diary from over 30 years ago. Chapter 1, A Dream in the Night in Tehran. These are my exact words down to the last jot and tittle from over 30 years ago. I begin by quoting, at the start of this chapter, Psalm 139, verse 12. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Psalm 139, verse 12. Then my narrative begins. I am awakened in the late hours of this June night by a most comfortable breeze blowing through the screen which separates my bedroom from the elevated balcony terrace. The breeze seems as perpetual as the darkness, permeated and illumined by moonlight. I have never felt a breeze this comfortable, even as a boy traveling and sleeping in the deserts of California by night. It enters my mind that this must be the reason for the Hebrew word ruah and the Greek word pneuma, both of which appear in the scripture and are simultaneously employed for the dual concepts of physical wind in the cosmos and the spirit of God in the realm of the unseen. The slight wind continues to blow without ceasing. As it does, I am conscious of the fact that its awakening of me from sleep has terminated what was a very significant and seemingly mysterious dream. This is an especially curious insight, as I must confess as I write that I cannot remember the contents of the dream, no matter what degree of effort is exerted to do so. My mild frustration over the inability to recall this transaction of the nocturnal subconscious is compensated for by the breeze, which continues apace at a speed and temperature seemingly controlled by a thermostat not made by human hands or of this present world. I simply remember that the dream, whatever it was, produced a sense of transcendent tranquility, subsequently enhanced by the movement of the night desert breeze blowing through Tehran from south to north. Now, being fully awake, the thought occurs to me that I should walk out to the elevated balcony terrace just beyond my bedroom to get a good nighttime glimpse of Tehran while enshrouded by the cool night desert air. The movement of air has lifted the haze of dust and automobile exhaust, which often hovers over this urban sprawl, increasingly one of the world's most significant cities at this juncture in history. Each time I have appeared at this balcony at night over a period of successive summers, my mind receives the most impressive and permanent photographic imprint of an endless succession of flat-topped roofs, terraces, alleyways, tree-lined streets, and the incessant twinkling of what seemed to be an incalculable number of city lights to the south. Watching these lights for an undetermined period of time in the darkness, I am now reminded of my ongoing impression of the southern part of this city, largely formed by several visits to the Tehran Bazaar, a labyrinthine maze of shops, narrow streets, and hidden passages, and scores of people speaking languages I do not understand. On the one hand, I like the sights, smells, and mysterious ambiance surrounding this apparently central place of economic transaction and political intrigue. On the other, there is the sense here of an impenetrable, Byzantine, subterranean world with the possibility of the replacement of festiveness with directed hostility seems to simmer just beneath the surface. There is only one other time when my sixth sense is similarly aroused by their perception of that which is both surreal and forbidding, the distant sounds of the call to prayer, the muezzin which emanate from the mosque. The cool, soothing breeze continues to blow from the south. As it does, I feel the need for another visual scene in a completely different sector of the city on this night. Mark Dankoff's America will return to you from San Antonio, Texas, live on the Republic Broadcasting Network to talk about a dream and to talk about the beginning of a diary penned over 30 years ago in Tehran, Iran. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Just a couple of house cleaning items before we continue. We're going to have, of course, a number of commercial breaks in the next 10 minutes or so. You can obtain new Republic Broadcasting Network T-shirts by contacting us online at rbnlive.com or going to notyranny.com for those shirts. or you can call in at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. The due date for Christmas is today, December 20th. If you want to get those shirts in time for Christmas, you need to do that today. You can do so again at rbnlive.com or notyranny.com or call in at 1-800-724-2719. Another housekeeping item, Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. You can have that for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by using those same contact points, rbnlive.com on the web, or call in at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719. I'm going to have a couple of interesting guests in the next couple of days on this show. If you are interested in the subject of weather warfare, I suggest that you tune in tomorrow because we're going to have a very special guest on the show who has written a book with that topic and title, who's going to talk about things that I've never been familiar with in my life on this whole subject. Jerry Smith is going to come on. His new book is Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. He's going to be on to discuss this topic. I've been reading through the book. Hope to have the book completed by tonight so I can talk somewhat intelligently with him tomorrow on that subject. And I'm sure you will enjoy that. Be sure to tune in. It will be the first day of winter, according to my calendar. That's the 21st of December. And then on the 22nd, Friday the 22nd of December, we're going to have a gentleman by the name of John Diamond on this show to talk about a book entitled The Rise of America. John's going to come and be with us for 2 hours. And we're going to be covering a lot of very interesting topics. Tuesday, the day after Christmas, I'm going to be having a gentleman on this show by the name of Dr. Kaveh Farrokh, F-A-R-R-O-K-H. If you're not familiar with the culture of Iran and are not familiar with the tribalism of that region, not simply Iran, but Turkey and Azerbaijan and many other places in Central Asia, the Caspian region, you need to become aware of who this gentleman is. He is a professor at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada. He's written an awful lot on things that Westerners, myself included, know very little about in regard to tribalisms and histories, ethnic histories, and so forth, of a lot of the different folks who comprise the region that we think of as the Middle East. And those tribalisms are important because ultimately there are things going on over there that relate to these ethnic and tribal histories that are being manipulated by outside forces for an end game yet to be determined in history. And Dr. Farrokh is going to help us uncover that on Tuesday, the 26th of December. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.